was going to do something. I was going to be stuck in Ukraine. So I was reading Psalm 121 in the Hebrew. Which is comforting, by the way. I needed comfort. And if you know my personality, I rarely get nervous. I'm, Joe, super providence of God guy. But I was getting, for maybe the first time in my life, starting to get sinfully, uncontrollably nervous about getting out of Ukraine. Psalm 121, comfort, and interestingly, if you don't know, it's comfort while you're on a trip is a big chunk of the psalm, hence I was on a trip, hence Psalm 121. God is the creator and keeper of his people, as we'll see. Also, you may not know, but Psalm 121, for many, maybe somebody here, it's, for some people, especially verse 2, their favorite verse in the Bible. Or one of their favorite verses, verses 1 and 2. Hear the written word of God, Psalm 121. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life or soul. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. And let us pray. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, this text is to be comforting. Comfort us in all the areas that we need it. Comfort us because we know who you are and what you've done and are doing and will do for us. I pray this in the name of Christ. Amen. Let me reread Psalm 1 and 2, or verses 1 and 2. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Now, the superscription to the song is a song of ascents, probably as they were ascending up Jerusalem's like a little mini mountain. So they're ascending up to Jerusalem, going up, and three festivals per year, they would all go to Jerusalem. So it's probably as they're traveling to one of the festivals. Also, as you keep reading verses 3 through 6, it's clearly associated with the danger of traveling. And the psalm is very straightforward. There's only one word in the psalm that we're not really 100% sure of what's going on, and that's in the opening line, I will lift up my eyes to the hills. And it has hills plural there. If you're up on Jerusalem, it's kind of a, it's not just a dead flat, it's kind of a little bumpy up there. Maybe that's hills. But maybe he was looking at hills as he was traveling to Jerusalem. We're not even sure hills is either a negative or a positive word. It could be negative because hills, one, I'm tired and I got to go up, that could be a negative, or there's robbers, dangers, as they're hiding in the hills. Now, of course, it could be a positive if it's talking about Jerusalem. I want to get to Jerusalem. I look to Jerusalem. They're the special presence of God. Or maybe it can be both. I got to go through the dangers up the hills to get to the top. And we'll ask Dr. Currid after the sermon his view on hills. Okay, except for the word hills, everything else is straightforward in the sermon. This wonderful line in verse 2, at the end of 1, where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, not man. Man secondarily could help me, but my Lord, my help comes from the Lord. And this grand statement, the Lord, my help comes from. Given all the secondary technology, man, it's a lot of secondary helps, but the ultimate help that's controlling all of those secondary helps is from the Lord. And then there's the epithet, who made heaven and earth. Why does he say that? Many epithets in the Bible. God, da-da-da, God, da-da-da, different, God, my Savior, God, my this, God, the one who brought us out of Egypt, God, Jesus died for my sins. Why, who made heaven and earth? Why that epithet? Of the thousand things you can say about God, why that one? Well, often in prayer requests, you need someone that has power to solve your problem. And hence this creator statement, God is the creator who made heaven and earth, is showing the power of God. Now, for other reasons, we know about the love of God, and for the prayer request to be solved, he has to love us and have all power to solve our problem. And hence, who made heaven and earth. Again, many things to be said about the Lord, but here, who made heaven and earth, to give you the power idea. And also, when the Bible uses the word creator, it usually implies also continuing providence. So one, he has all power, and he's providentially controlling everything, including the robbers that can get you while you travel. No pagan god is the creator. It's the Lord who's the creator. And it's the triune God who's the creator. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that's the creator. My help comes from the Lord, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, who made heaven and earth. Jesus is our Redeemer and our creator. 3-6, rereading. And now you're going to see the traveling thing. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your helper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. Look at verse 3. As you travel, God even cares about one little foot slipping, the all-controlling providence. Look at verse 6. If it's a hot day with the sun, he'll create shade, or the moon in reverse. He'll help you out there. Notice, and it's said a whole bunch of times in the psalm, that he's the one that keeps you. Look at verse 3. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you. In fact, it's stated 3 times in 3-6, and then it'll be another 3 times in 7-8. God is the one that keeps you. And we'll come back to that in a second. Notice, interestingly, it says, God doesn't sleep. He's omni-awake. Should be a category for Dr. Kelly in your systematics. One of the attributes of God, he's omni-awake. Now, of course, we know that, so we don't even think about that, really, that God doesn't sleep. He's omni-awake, omni-concerned, omni-loving in all ways. Notice verse 4, behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber or sleep. Now, the rest of the psalm, every time he uses Y-O-U, it's a singular you. It's talking about you personally. Here it goes out to the whole group. God cares about the church, but the vast majority of the psalm is about you as an individual. Let's look at 7-8 for a second. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Now, interestingly, the psalm was about traveling, but then he takes traveling and now wants to talk about your whole life that God is providentially controlling, and he uses it in travel language. You could say your whole life is traveling. The Lord will keep you from all evil all your life, and then your soul or life. He will keep you from your going in, your going out, your whole life. So Psalm 121 isn't just about traveling. It's about your whole life. And notice the going out and coming in, and he uses that wording often. Verse 121, where does my help come from? Help comes from the Lord. The comes wording there. And God is so concerned about us. He's not just concerned about this trip. He's concerned about our entire life and our entire life getting us to the new heavens and new earth. Note again in 7-8, the Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. Verse 8, the Lord will keep you. And there's both the present and future keeping. We don't say often, again, attributes of God, epithets about God. God is my keeper. And maybe you'll tell me afterwards that you do say that a bunch. But it is one of the lines in the great Aaron's benediction, the Aaronic benediction of number 6, said at the end of every single worship service in the Old Testament, once instituted in the tabernacle, the Lord bless you and keep you. That's a providential keeping of you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you, be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Notice end of verse 7, he will keep your nephesh or soul, which then branches out to life. The word soul can mean sometimes your inner part of you, it can mean sometimes the outer part, or it can mean the whole thing inner and outer. And so God is concerned about your spiritual life. He's also concerned about your material life, and he will keep you until you get to the new heavens and new earth. We have a perfect soul, perfect body forever and ever. God is sovereign. He won't let your foot slip, but he's also sovereign in grand redemption. The Lord will keep your life. A wonderful comment. Okay, now let me spend a few minutes back on verse 2. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. This statement of Scripture is designed to be comforting in times of anxiety, in other times, but times of anxiety. It reminds us that the triune God is our keeper. He's our creator and keeper. In a poetic way, it reminds us of God's fatherly care, this sort of traveling psalm about traveling. It's true of traveling, but also rest of like he cares about us on a trip, cares about our whole life as if we're on a trip. Now, God loved us in many other ways, preeminently in the sending of Christ, who was fully God, became man, hence fully God, fully man, lived a perfect life, died for us, and we put our faith in him for our justification through the Holy Spirit, and faith in him for our sanctification, and he changes us when we get to the new heavens and new earth, and we'll have perfect faith in him forever and ever. Now, Psalm 121 was more specifically about anxiety in traveling, at least the first part of it. And there happened to be a famous minister and Presbyterian, Clarence McCartney, First Presbyterian Church in Pittsburgh. And he was a rock-solid conservative for many, many years at this famous church in Pittsburgh. His father was actually also was a minister, but was a professor at Geneva College, if any of you know Geneva College. And he wrote an autobiography. So the minister, Clarence McCartney, wrote an autobiography in 1960, when he's older. He's talking about when he was a child in the 1890s. And he's talking about family worship. And so let me read to you a little bit from his autobiography. My first lessons in religion and in reading I had on those mornings at family worship. Sitting on my father's knee as he, with his long forefinger, pointed out the words to me. Often, we read the 121st Psalm. It was a favorite of the family. We also sang the Great Traveler's Psalm. You'll see what that is in a second, but you can imagine that's Psalm 121, the Traveler's Psalm, when any of the family was starting off to college or on a journey. So if any of his brothers and sisters were going away at family worship, they would sing 121. And also, I know it's true, at the churches, at many Presbyterian churches, back before they had cars and they had horses and you were going to go visit your family, which were 100 miles away, this is a long horse trip. So in the worship service, they would sing for that family Psalm 121. It was a nice tradition. Okay, back to Mr. McCartney. The benediction of that family altar has, I am sure, followed all of us through life thus far, and I will hope follow us up to the gate of heaven. So he's saying this favorite, they didn't take just on traveling trips, but also now broadening it out to your whole life is a travel. And so they often would talk about that. Father was wont to conclude his petitions at the family altar with the prayer, may we all get home at last. That many times at the end of any prayer, he would say that. May we all get home at last, taking off of Psalm 121. Still on life's pilgrimage, the children who remain, meaning his brothers and sisters, his parents were dead, can hear the grand 121st Psalm as we sang it in the metrical version to the tune Dundee. I to the hills will lift my eyes, from whence shall come my aid? My safety cometh from the Lord, who heaven and earth hath made. And we could sing it some other time, because I can't sing. But we do sing that in my class occasionally. back to my Ukraine trip. There was a snafu in my tickets, so that even though I had the tickets like 9 months ahead of time, I was on standby at every spot getting over to Ukraine. And that's like a 45-hour event to get from America to Ukraine. Now, again, getting stat, I was in Paris. Okay, if I got stuck in Paris, okay, it's not the worst thing. But in Ukraine, he didn't say he did it, but the United States was at least claiming Putin was arming the rebels in Eastern Ukraine. I'm in dead center Ukraine. As one official said, in 3 hours, Putin could be in Kiev. And that's where I was. That was like 2 days before I left. There were students in my class who were Protestants, and their churches were blown up by tanks because they were Protestants. And usually Protestants sided with the West, if that makes any sense to you, in Ukrainian politics. And on top of that, I have this jet lag problem. So normally I go to Ukraine about 2 or 3 days early to get my body straightened out. But this particular time, Lig Duncan was, his inauguration down in Jackson was on Saturday. I wasn't getting back to Saturday night, which meant I had to leave. I got back Saturday morning, leaving Saturday afternoon, get there Monday night. So I'm getting there late Monday night, 45 hours, no sleep, and I got to teach that morning. I try and go to sleep. I sleep 1 hour and dead wide awake. And actually, the whole week, I didn't sleep more than an hour per night kind of thing. One, due to jet lag, but two, more just to, I was just getting too nervous about this Putin thing. You know, my wife telling me, why are you going over to Ukraine? You crazy? And I was. And it just started to work on me. I was just getting uncontrollably nervous. One, I was thinking, this is going to ruin the class. Well, the class actually went well. And part of it was the Hebrews through Revelation. So several of those books are about suffering, and it really dovetailed with what was happening with the students. So the class went well, but I just kept thinking, I'm not going to be able to get home, because if Putin just makes one little comment, then the few rich people that are in Ukraine, because it's a big bribe culture, they'll just all go to the airport, and everybody else will be kicked off, whether you're on standby or not standby, they'll just kick you off, and you'll be stuck there. But Psalm 121, really, I probably read it, I don't think I'm exaggerating, 100 times. During the week, and it really brought me comfort to read Psalm 121. And as I mentioned, for many people, it's their favorite verse in the Bible. In fact, it's my mother's. Well, she's deceased. Her favorite verse, it's on her tombstone, Psalm 121. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. And she would sing this in Dutch, but the Dutch tune to the Psalter tune also was different, but I can remember my mother's Psalm 121. I'm assuming here today some of you have anxiety. There's proper concern, but then you could move to sinful anxiety. You know, the health of your kids, job, finances. Is my marriage falling apart while I'm in seminary? Traveling difficulties. When you're starting to sin about anxieties, Psalm 121, the Lord, not man, not pagan gods, it's the Lord who's going to provide our help. I lift up my eyes to the hills, from whence, the old King James, does my aid come from? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Do you really believe that? Do you believe verse 2? That your aid comes from the Lord. The all-loving Father is omni-awake to care about you. Yes, we'll have difficulties in life. I assume you know that. But he's controlling all of them and will get us to the new heavens and new earth. The Lord is my help and my keeper. Let us pray. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we thank you for the work of Christ. We thank you for the work of the Trinity. We thank you for your providence in our travels, and we thank you for your providence in getting us to the new heavens and new earth. May we love this verse. My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Amen. And we'll sing now again the last two verses of 498. And notice how verse 4 matches the sermon. I assume, Mr. Albano, did you pick this? I don't know who picked this out. It was not I. Was that intentional?
Providential,
yes. Special providence, the confession says. Okay, so let's stand and sing 4 and 5.